Ramsey TV.
The Apostle Paul just can't help throwing in a word about the body of Christ into Romans 9, 10, and 11, where he is completely suffused with concern, love, and prophecy concerning his brethren according to the flesh, i.e. Israelites. This is Martin Zender. You're out in the driveway here in my car in Fort Lauderdale. It's been raining for 3 days, making me a little antsy, but we shall survive this. Folks have been asking me concerning yesterday's video, me going into Total Wine, making a scene because they wanted to make me put my mask over my little nosy. I was right here, but oh no, I have to have it up here or the world is going to fall apart. I'm just going to infect everybody and death will ensue. People ask me, which came first, the video you made saying that you were going to irritate these wannabe dictators or your trip to Total Wine? You know which came first? The video came first. You would think that I made the scene. I didn't want to make a scene, but I happened to do it. You would think that that would have come first, and then I would have come back into the studio and said, you know what, I'm just determined I'm going to ease my pain about this dictatorial circumstance with the, you must wear a mask or you will be socially ostracized. No, I made the video and I went out and I lived it. I lived it. You didn't know this, but yesterday I had two guests in the studio, i.e. in my living room. Selena from Massachusetts came down here to visit for 2 days. You remember her? She processed like the last 200 of the Revelation series. She put the titles on it, put the theme song on it, processed the audio. So she did great work for this operation. Travis Penner did that for me. Travis Penner of Canada, he did that for me down back in the bunker days in Brazil. Did a few hundred shows. Selena took over, went the distance to the end of the Revelation series. She was here visiting for 2 days. She and Manfred were in the living room watching the show, and they ended up going with me to Total Wine later. During the show, I told them they didn't want to be on the camera. They're very shy, kind of like me, you know, just very shy. And so I said, okay, I'm not going to turn the camera on you unless you make a noise. If you laugh at any of my hilarious hijinks, I'm going to have to turn the camera on you. It got very close. I could see that out of the corner of my eye that they were struggling when I made the Freudian slip about is the axe to wield itself. Did I say that right? Yeah. Is the axe to boast above the one who wields it? Isaiah chapter 10. And I made a Freudian slip and I said, should the ass boast? And I saw Selena out of the corner of my eye. I think they had pillows ready because they know that any second I'm going to say something hilarious. I covered it up. So they went with me to Total Wine, and they were actually there. They were there watching the hijinks. So this is not an ideal act by me, by your host here at MCTV, Martin Zender. It's not an ideal act, but I just can't help it. I have to do something to ease the pain. All right, now that's enough of that. Just a little bit of a backstory there. Now we are in Romans chapter 9. And watch what Paul does here. Watch what Paul does. Paul has been talking about vessels of honor and dishonor. Now here's where Paul turns the corner. This is what I'm getting at in verse, that's ripped right there, 23, I think, that he should also be making known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. So you always have to consider the flip side of that coin, that we're looking at vessels of mercy here, and that's us. Watch what happens. Which he makes ready before for glory. Us, Paul says, us. I have that circled in my scripture. Right there, you see it? Above my finger there, us. Is my fingernail clean? Ah, crap, sort of. All right. Whom he calls also, not only out of the Jews, but out of the nations also. And this is the shock with Paul's gospel, that it is a call to the nations, but any Jew, any Israelite who hears the message of the transcendent grace of God come to us through Paul can jump ship, go over, join Paul's gospel, But when the Jews do this, they lose their national advantage. See, because even this is what the nations thought when they saw a gospel, a good news coming to them. They couldn't believe it because they had heard of the fame of Israel and they knew that God was on that nation. Yeah, Israel. There's only one nation God cares about. It's Israel. We're dogs. We're pigs. We're no good. That's what they tend to think. So when all of a sudden some Israelites are jumping onto Paul's gospel, Paul himself is an Israelite. So the first thought would be, should an Israelite, it's like they're glorying in their message. Wow, we're the nations. We're getting this great thing. Wow, God has a specific word for us. When an Israelite would come into it, they would think, God, here we go again. Here we go again. Here comes an Israelite. He's got an advantage no matter what. It was going great until Israelites decided to join it. Actually, they didn't decide. You know, God decided for them. But now that an Israelite's coming in, here we go again. National superiority. We're the lower rung again. We're the dogs. No matter what we do, even if we have a new call, here comes an Israelite. And Paul says, no. We are one body. He takes the two and makes it into one. It's a joint body. And in the body of Christ, an Israelite has no advantage. No advantage. A man of the nations is on equal footing with an Israelite. And that was the shock of the body of Christ. You have to understand this. It's hard to understand this in our day because we forget of the superiority of Israel as far as the earth goes. And I was just talking to somebody last night. When we're talking about earth, Israel will always have the advantage. That's her realm of ministry. That's her realm of operation during the millennium that will come to fruition. But on the earth, an Israelite always has the advantage. Now, it can work the opposite way. A man of the nations or a woman of the nations can join Israel. Why would they want to? I don't know, except they have the antenna for it. They can join Israel, but they become what is known as proselytes, and they are second-class citizens to Israel. So if a person of the nations just has this longing, this desire, this love to be part of the Israelite culture, the Israelite calling, the Israelite priesthood, they can do it. Oh, they can do it. They can do it. But they're second-class citizens. They're proselytes. They get on the fringe. They're helping. But they like that. They like to be second-class citizens because they just adore Israel. So you can, as a nation, go to the Israelite camp, to the circumcision gospel. But if you're going from the circumcision gospel to Paul's gospel, watch out. You're still a natural Israelite, but it's no advantage to you anymore. Because Paul ends up saying in Philippians chapter 3, those things which were advantage to me, I consider refuse. That is garbage. And among those things was that he's a Benjamin guy, a Benjamite, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, Pharisee of the Pharisees, out of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul says that doesn't matter anymore in the body of Christ. Ooh, kind of tough. Kind of tough for an Israelite join the body of Christ, isn't it? Because they have to reconcile this to themselves. They have to just come to grips with the fact that I'm not a big national deal anymore because now I'm in the body of Christ. The question might arise. In fact, the question did arise recently for me. It wasn't my question. It was the question from another one. It's like, why is there two evangels? You know, this is a good question. And I just want to say this, and maybe I'll even close with this. What I wanted to do was get to us. Paul says, vessels of glory, us. We're vessels of glory. We're vessels of honor, whom he calls also, not only out of the Jews, but also out of the nations. That's what got me onto this. Not only out of the Jews, but also out of the nations. Why are there two evangels to begin with? Great question. Why didn't God just do one? Great question. It'd be simpler. Yeah, great point. Why doesn't God just make things simple? Good question. Why does God continue to seem to make things complicated? Good question. Like if you go to a restaurant and there's only one item on the menu, it's not so complicated. What would you like to order? I guess I'll have a hamburger since that's all you got, you know? But you open these menus that look like the Declaration of Independence and you got 100,000 things and people are sitting there for 15 minutes trying to figure out what they want. It's difficult. It's stressful. What do I want? But God is in the habit. I would be shocked if there were only one evangel, one gospel. Here's why. God loves this dichotomy. He loves this duality. He loves to split things in two and then make things oppose one another to make things interesting. If there's only one restaurant in town, nobody argues about where to go. But if there's two restaurants, I want to go to this one. I want to go to this one. That's very interesting then, isn't it? Oh, yeah, very interesting. So you might as well ask, why is there only one? Why didn't God keep one gender in the Garden of Eden? Could it just had Adam doing the whole thing? Adam produces children. Not sure if that works, but yeah, well, it could easily work. God could do it. But no, instead he splits the gender, pulls the woman out of Adam, and there's been nothing but trouble ever since. Nothing but trouble ever since. So this is what God wants. So that's what he does. He pulls it out. Then he has Jews and Greeks. He focuses on one nation, you know, then kind of the other nations not so much. And we have this two thing. This two thing. That's what I call it. That's a technical term. Be careful with this. It's a two thing. And then at the end of the reign of Solomon, God splits the nation of Israel into two. He takes them, one, the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, puts them up in Samaria, takes the southern tribes, the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, leaves them in Jerusalem. Why did he do that? Because he wanted one people out of the land when Jesus Christ came. So when the people said, his blood be on us and our children, ouch, that only comes on us. Small group of Israelites, the other ones are scattered among all the nations. I believe that's Amos 9:9. Why did God not want one nation? At the Tower of Babel, everything was going great. They were passing the bricks around, putting the mortar, building the Tower of Babel. Everyone spoke one language. All of a sudden, one guy tries to ask for a bucket of mortar, and he means to say, may I have a bucket of mortar, but it comes out like this. And the other guy goes, what? There it goes. And so it begins. Now we have 200 nations or whatever, and it's a big mess, and it's complicated, it's confusing. But I would be surprised if it wasn't, because this is what God does. He has high-pressure cells. He has low-pressure cells. He has light. He has darkness. Yes, he has death. He has life. He has sin. He has deliverance. He's always doing, cutting things in two. He's always like splitting it and boom, pulling it out. We have vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Why don't we just have vessels of honor, Martin? I don't like the vessels of dishonor. Well, okay, if you were God, obviously we would not have vessels of dishonor, but we also wouldn't have contrast. We wouldn't learn anything through the push and pull. Oh, there's another thing God did, push and pull. Why didn't God just have pull? Why did he have to have push? I don't like the push. I want pull. I'm sorry, push and pull. It's all part of God's thing, wet and dry. The land, he makes the creation, and God creates the heaven and the earth. I don't like that. Why didn't he just create the heaven? I don't know. You'll have to ask God when you see him. These are just things off the top of my head. God loves the duality. So I would be shocked if there were only one evangel. That would be ridiculous. Wouldn't be like God at all. So it's actually not. It is more complicated. It does make it tougher. I agree with you to sort things out. But that's why we are to be unashamed workmen, correctly cutting the word of truth. Why would you have to cut it? Because God himself cuts it. More on this tomorrow. Martin, why isn't there just tomorrow? Why can't there be only today? God makes today and tomorrow. Why does he do that?